Now, News Talk Radio CJAD 800 presents the CEO Series, insights from top business leaders. Your host is Carl Moore.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. The CEO Series takes you inside our capstone MBA class at McGill. Each week, we sit down with some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us. Justin Trudeau, Mohammed Yunus Nobel Peace Prize winner, and L.M. Belmar, CEO of Bombardier until recently. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders our McGill MBAs are exposed to. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with three restaurateurs, Antonio Park of Park Restaurant, Lenny Leiter of Moishas, and Dennis Stevens of Nostos in Mexico City. Thanks, Antonio, Lenny, and Dennis for joining us today. Antonio, when did you shut down your restaurants?
I shut down on the weekend before they announced it.
Why early?
Everything was uncertain. I wasn't sure what to do. So the best thing to do for the safety of everybody was just to shut it down. I had no other things. You know, I was just in my head. I was like, what if I open and what if something else happens? And what if somebody gets sick or something happens? You know, that'll be all on my shoulders. So I just wanted to stay safe and... And that's why I decided to close right before.
Probably your best-known restaurant is Park on Victoria in Westmount. How many restaurants do you have now?
About 10.
Can you name them all?
So there was, there was, because there's no more. So there was Park. Right next to Park, there was Café Bazin. There's Café Bazin. Kwai. We have the catering company for Park. And then on St. Catherine, we have Kampai. And then a little bit further, we all recently opened a food hall called Cat Cart in the Place Ville Marie. And then we have Jatoba, and then Flygin, Westwood in Laval.
So quite the empire. Why have you decided to grow it so much in the last couple of years?
I had opportunities. The opportunities were mostly like, the team was growing. And when you go into a restaurant, there's an anarchy, right? There's from dishwashers to prep guys to commis, and then you have garmanger, and then you have entremets, you have sous chef, executive sous chef, chef de cuisine. You have all these different levels. It's like if you go to a company, you have directors, presidents, vice president. And not everybody stays to be a dishwasher, and not everybody stays to be a garmanger. They all get up in ranks. And at one point, the whole team kind of like they got to the position where they wanted to be in.
Did you have to lay everybody off when you closed the restaurants down? Like, was it that they are now being helped by the government?
Yeah, no, I had to lay off everybody.
When did you start takeaway, Antonio?
When they announced it, I did exactly 2 weeks of quarantine with everybody, and then the whole team, obviously, the whole team of Park. And then 2 weeks later, I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm staying home. No, I cooked 2 weeks straight at home, but it was good enough to cook at home. But I couldn't stay. I had to do something. So I called upon my team, and I said, no, let's those who had responsibilities also, not just me, but those who are with me, who's been with me for a long time, but at the same time, they have families, you know, they have families to feed, they have children, they have their wives. I called them and I asked them if it's okay to join me, you know, and they all joined me.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and today I'm speaking with Antonio Park, Montreal chef and restaurant owner, as well as two other restaurateurs about the impact of the COVID-19 on their industry. Can you make money just doing takeaway like that? Is it possible to make money, or is it may just bringing at least some revenue into the business?
Just some revenue in the business. You can absolutely not make money. To make money off takeout delivery is very, very difficult. It's extremely difficult. There's a couple of things that changed throughout that time. I think I'm going into my seventh week that I'm open. What things changed is everything that we used to receive, the prices went up. So, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, a lot of the vegetables and overproduced, but don't forget all these farmers also, they stopped working. So all the prices went up, all the shipping costs went up. So everything that we used to get it from Japan, they still do the cargo, right? There's no more people flying for vacation or coming, but the cargo business still works continuously. So the cargo side was coming in, but there's not enough volume to bring it in. So obviously your cost goes up. So all the cost goes up. And then whatever you have to sell it to the public, you cannot sell it at the price that you used to sell. So you reduce your selling point price, but your cost went up. But the other thing that balanced that off to not lose money is that the labor costs went down because you're not utilizing all the waiters, bussers, you know, the extra curriculum activity that we do at the restaurant. So I was able to play with those numbers and put it together.
So are you still getting fish from Japan and so on? Those supplies, so your value chain hasn't broken down?
No, the value chain hasn't broken down. Just the prices went up. The prices went up about 30%.
And Tony, you've been delivering meals to first line responders. Where did that idea come from and how's that going?
The idea came from because I just wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to help everybody and not only doctors or nurses or anybody, but everybody, policemen, firefighters, anybody who's working hard during this pandemic and you know they're risking their life. At the end of the day, you're risking your life. I just wanted to do something positive for the people that works on the first line. But at the same time, you know, once somebody start doing, then everybody kind of like, it becomes like a ball of energy, right? A positive energy that keeps on growing and growing. It's like a little snowball that you let it go from the top of the mountain and it comes bigger and bigger. So I just wanted to show others that everybody can pitch in and everybody can do something different.
When do you think restaurants will reopen in Montreal? Any thoughts on that?
That's a $1 million question that nobody can answer. I don't know, man. I wish it could open soon, but it's a very difficult time for even if it opens. Let's say even if it opens, what are you going to do? You're going to fill in 50%. So the business itself, it has to continue towards takeout and delivery for sure. And then from there on, you have to adjust it. You know, like I want to open. Yes, I do want to open as soon as possible with the social distancing. A small restaurant that carries 40 seats, how do you do that?
But you can't make money if every second table is empty, I assume.
Absolutely not. So that's why you have to continue the takeout and delivery business and then add on the restaurant business. The only thing what the city and the government can do is help us kind of like use, you know, the patio, enlarge our patios, enlarge the outside space.
Now, you had a crisis where your two restaurants burnt down not that long ago. How is this crisis different than that crisis of the two restaurants burning down?
Well, it's the same crisis. It's just different level of things because this is a pandemic. This is everybody in the world. That was affected just to me and my team and my partners. But the thing is, you have to always see it in the same direction. You got to see what you have to do to get up out of this. Because if you cannot get up off this, then you're failing, right? You're failing. And how are you going to rebuild everything? So the only way that I could have done it is just to, you know, open as fast as I can when it was the fire. But right now, this is a different thing. It's out of my control. When am I going to open the restaurant? That's out of my control. I can open it tomorrow and I can, you know, I can start doing at least 10 tables. If it has to be done 10 tables, I'll do 10 tables. If it has to be done 5 tables, I'll do 5 tables. I'm not the guy who's going to sit down at home and wait until the solution comes to me. I'm going to look for solutions. You know, I'm going to try to find solutions. And this is where everybody should come. There's a lot of restaurants that are also very difficult for them to do takeout and delivery because their whole idea of the whole menu system and composing the food is not really for takeout and delivery. But I guess this is the hard time that we have to all join forces together and all think about it and try to come up with a better way of doing different food. You know, we can't do a 5-star food right now for takeout and delivery, but we can do healthy and comfortable food that you can eat at home, comfort food.
We're speaking with Antonio Park, owner of Park Restaurant, and two other restaurateurs about the impact of the current pandemic on their businesses. Coming up, we'll be talking with Lenny Leiter, General Manager of Moishe's. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Lenny Leiter, General Manager of Moishe's, and two other restaurateurs about the impact of the novel coronavirus on their industry. So Lenny, when did you shut down the restaurant?
We closed on March 16th.
Was it the government telling you to, or what led to that on the 16th?
We closed a day or two before the government mandated it. We just felt it was the right thing to do. We, you know, all of a sudden, business sort of dropped off the cliff, and that happened really after, I guess, the NBA made their announcement. And then it was also, I think the thing that sort of really, you know, pushed us to close was our staff and our concern about their health and safety and well-being.
Did you have to lay off staff?
Yes. Yeah. Everybody's been furloughed. Yeah.
So they get benefits from the government then?
Correct. Yes.
But that would be, you know, the tips that they would earn, rightly so. Their income is down a fair bit then, I presume.
Yes, because it maxed out. I'm not sure what the amount is, but it maxed out at an amount that would not cover what some of our servers were earning.
So are you making any revenues at Moishe's now?
None at the restaurants, but at the retail level, we're actually doing very well. We're doing better than we have in the past due to the demand in the supermarkets and specifically in Costco. Costco's a big customer of ours, and you know, we've always been in Costco and our sales in Costco since the shutdown has begun, they've been very, very strong.
Can that business make up for the losses at Moishe's? Are you guys are keeping your head above water? Is it reasonably close to the revenues of Moishe's?
No, it's a much larger business than Moishe's, but at the same time, it won't make up for the revenues lost, you know, because we're literally at zero at Moishe's.
So why don't you do takeaway like Antonio Park and a bunch of other restaurants are doing? Why aren't you doing that?
You know, we thought about it. We're thinking about it. We're actually looking at a plan, at an initiative. And if it comes to fruition, it'll be something that's considerably different than pickup and delivery. And we're working on that now. It's confidential at this point, and we're not quite at the point where we've actually completely gelled the concept, but we're working on something very, very interesting that would help us during the shutdown, but also would help us redefine how we operate in the future.
I'm totally intrigued, but I know you won't tell us anymore.
You know, we're just really in the initial stages. If we decide to do it, then we'll move quickly and we'll have the ability to move quickly with Sportscene's help. You know, for us to just do takeout and delivery, you know, it would help a little bit, but I think there's much bigger issues that need to be addressed. And I think we have the ability to sort of deal with all the issues together. And, you know, again, it's how will this business be defined going forward after the lockdown? Because I think it's obvious to everybody, you know, we're not going to turn on a switch and everything will be the way it was. So with that in mind, with the new normal, so to speak, we're you know, anticipating things will be different and we're looking at ways at addressing them.
How has it impacted you at the restaurant being owned by the Sportscene Group? Have they got involved a bit in what's going on?
You know, we've always had the ability to operate independently of Sportscene. They have been and are very helpful. They're very, very supportive of what we do. But at the same time, they've given us free rein to, you know, to operate as we always have. And in this sense, to work with them to create, you know, something new and different because of the situation. But also, you know, one thing, they've been very supportive of our staff. They offer some meals, and this is throughout the Sportscene system for their employees. So they offer meals that can be picked up either for free and or at discounted rates for all their employees.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Lenny Leiter, General Manager of Moishe's, as well as two other restaurateurs about the impact of COVID-19 on their industry.
Delivering meals to communities in need, like healthcare workers, I had the pleasure of going out with you last week. Where did that idea come from and how's it been going?
You know, it's sort of not really an idea and it didn't really come from anywhere. It's really, you know, just part of our culture here, my heritage. I mean, our family, my father, you know, it was, you know, always charitable and it was a lesson we learned at a very, very young age. It's something that I've instilled in my children, you know, with them at a very, very young age. And so it was just a natural, normal thing to do. If we weren't doing this, then we had to do something. And the only something, you know, that made sense was to, you know, to help out the community, you know, people in need. And it's been going well. It's, you know, people appreciate what we've done, what we're doing. It's, you know, for us here in the restaurant too, it's an opportunity to bring some of our staff in. They come in and they volunteer. You know, on many levels, it's just been a very, very positive experience. A lot of people like yourself have come forward and have offered their help, which has, you know, been very, very nice. A number of restaurants have come forward and have wanted to, you know, work with us and, you know, support us by donating products. And that's been helpful. And, you know, it's just, you know, also just been good for our brand, you know, people noticing what we're doing. And, you know, we see on social media just a lot of people appreciating the initiatives that we're making.
How many meals thus far have you provided? Approximately.
We're close to 1,500 at this point.
So when do you think Moishe's will reopen? What's your crystal ball tell you?
Oh my God. It's so hard to predict. It's certainly out of our hands. We need to wait to hear from the government. And I guess, and I'm hoping it's all, you know, well, for the most part, numbers and science related. The worst case scenario, you know, here or anywhere, is if we reopen and things get bad and we need to close as well as everybody else. So this is one of those businesses where, you know, by definition, it's close contact. It's very social. It's a tough call. It's a tough call. I notice what's happening in the States and in a lot of states in Georgia and Texas, which opened up early. You know, the restaurants that did open are not necessarily that busy. People are sort of being cautious and staying away. So it's hard to know. You know, there's Quebec, and then there's, you know, Montreal has its own unique experience, and we'll have to see, I guess, how the numbers here.
You know, when you look at social distancing, if the restaurant was only allowed to be half full, can you make money doing that?
No. And it's not just us. You know, the nature of this business is, and I'm sure you've known, you've heard it, if not from me, 1,000 times from many others, you know, the margins are very, very thin. And, you know, the first thing I think any restaurateur would have to do is negotiate with their landlord and see what type of break they could realize from their landlords. But otherwise, to have the same expenses and operate at 50% capacity would be difficult.
How much do you miss working the crowd, schmoozing? I've seen you do it a number of times. And Moishe's, is that something that you're just going, I really can't wait to get back there in the restaurant with my customers?
Yeah, that's the thing I miss the most. It's the energy, it's the excitement, it's the show. I miss my staff as well. You know, we were one big family here. Not always happy, but still a family. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly. But you know, it's been, and we've had a lot of longstanding employees here, and it just becomes part of your DNA after a while. You know, you see everybody, you interact with everybody, you know, almost every day. You know, we were all here together 6 days a week. I was here 6 days a week, and it's lonely without them.
We're speaking with Lenny Leiter, general manager of Moishe's, and two other restaurateurs about the impact of the current pandemic on their businesses. Coming up, we'll be talking with Dennis Stevens, a Montrealer who's the owner of Nostos in Mexico City, where he and his family live. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Well, again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Dennis Stevens, owner of Nostos, and two other restaurateurs about the impact of the coronavirus on their industry.
Dennis, when did you shut down your restaurant?
I think it was March 23rd. I think around March 23rd, we decided to shut down the restaurant. It wasn't required by law at that point. But we just felt it was the responsible thing to do. Then the government followed suit about 1 week later and made it mandatory for all restaurants to be to not offer table service. Or, I think it was the 30th of March.
Were people surprised you shut down?
No. Our clientele is pretty well connected, you know, with international media, and they kind of knew that it was coming. The number of customers that were coming in was obviously going down. People were still coming. But we had decided that, you know what, not just the issue of having someone get infected and having something serious happen to them, but on a business side as well, it won't look good. It wouldn't look good if one of our customers got sick and something serious would ever happen to them, because we decided to be too aggressive on staying open too long.
I should have asked, what's the name of your restaurant and what kind of cuisine is it? And is it low, medium, or higher end?
So the name of the restaurant is Estiatorio Nostos. It's a Greek restaurant. It's one of 5 Greek restaurants that I have here in Mexico City, but it's the highest end Greek restaurant in Mexico City. In fact, it's one of the highest end restaurants in the city. So I'd say our average consumption per person in terms of, I'd say in US dollars, is about $90 a person, $95 a person.
Did you lay off your staff? That was what happened up here in Canada quite a bit.
I did not lay off my staff. At Nostos, we have 105 employees, and we still have 105 employees. The reason being is about, one mainly is because we have a philosophy of that said, okay, the government's not going to help us. The government's not going to help our employees. They're not going to do anything. It's not like in Canada, you know, where there's like, I think it was an $87 billion plan to try and help, you know, small businesses. That doesn't happen here. And so it's a country where you learn to live through crises, economic crises. So that's why people don't take on too much debt. We have no debt whatsoever in any of our businesses. And so what we said is, okay, well, what we got to do in moments of crisis is we need to act like shock absorbers. Everyone needs to absorb some of the pain. So first thing I did, I spoke to our landlords and I said, well, we're not going to be paying you full rent. All right. So we negotiated, depending on the location and if it's an office or if it's a restaurant, I reduced my various rents between the lowest being 25%. I mean, we reduced it 75% to 25%. And the most that we're paying is 50% of the rent. And of course they kind of like balked at it, but they understood. They're very receptive. And you have to understand, like, think about, okay, what is their biggest expense? And most of them is, you know, is financing their construction if it's a new construction. So they went to their banks and the banks said, we're not going to be charging any payments for the next 4 to 5 months. Okay. So the banks are absorbing their portion of the pain. And to our employees, what we said, now the Mexican government said, because it's a very socialist government we have now, said, you are not allowed to fire anybody. And if you fire anybody and don't pay them like 4 months severance, you know, you will go to jail. Right? I mean, supposedly. So they'll take criminal action against you. I personally decided, you know, to say, well, you know what? Come and get me. What I'm going to do is this. I'm going to make a deal directly with my employees. And we decided that we offered any employee that says, you know, that says, I don't feel comfortable going to work and I don't want to work. So no problem. You're actually doing us a favor. Take a furlough. And, you know, don't work, but you're the first in line to have your job when you get back, when everything comes back to normal. And what I explained to everybody is that my job as a business owner is to make sure that when all this is over, there's a company for them to come back home to. There's a job for them to come back to. Because when this is all over, there's going to be a lot of unemployment and there's going to be a lot of bankruptcies. And so there'll be very few jobs and a lot of people looking for jobs. And I explained that to them. They understood that basic concept of economics and they said, okay, we're with you. So some of them, not many, they said, you know what, I can handle it. I'm going to stay home. I want to take a chance. Perfect. And I said, there's another bonus for you coming up, and I'll explain later. Now, anyone who can't doesn't have the luxury of that. They need to have some income. I said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to reduce your days of work. Instead of coming, you know, 5 days a week, you're going to be coming 1 or 2 days a week. Okay, just enough so you can put food on your table. Be very conservative. We're going to pay you full salary for the days that you work. And we're going to reinvent ourselves, and we're going to be a takeout and delivery restaurant, a high-end takeout and delivery restaurant. And we're going to do it better than anyone else, because that's what we do. And you're going to help us do that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to use that money to pay our reduced rent. We're going to use that to pay our food costs, your salaries, and utilities. And anything that's left over, we're going to distribute that all amongst all the employees. Not just the ones that are working right now, but the ones that are not working, the ones that decide to sacrifice and stay home and not work. And we're going to make that fund and we're going to distribute it to everybody. So the better you do your job, the more money you get. Okay, so we're not going to make any money. And the other thing is, I'm going to be your backstop. If we don't have enough money, I'm going to take money out of my pocket. I'm going to finance the company. So you're going to be guaranteed to have a company to come back to. Even if this thing lasts for 12 months, we're going to be here.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Dennis Stevens, a Montrealer and owner of Nostos in Mexico City, as well as two other restaurateurs, about the impact of COVID-19 on their industry. So how are your sales doing?
We were doing very well. We're actually selling pretty well. And so, nothing near to what we were selling, when we were open. I mean, last May, the May of the previous year, our sales were 13 million pesos in 1 month. This May, we're going to have 1 million pesos of sales. Okay, so it's a drastic drop, but it's enough to keep afloat with a reduced rent and a reduced labor cost. And, we can make it work out and maybe have to put a bit of money in or maybe not.
You've been delivering meals to healthcare workers. And what's motivated you to do that?
We started a program and we communicated to all our clients. We have a very strong community of clients. We said, for every meal that you buy, every order that you may do with Nostos, we will give 2 free dinners, balanced dinners, to the healthcare sector, to our health workers, the people who are fighting this battle on the front lines. And that had a tremendous response. So we're pretty much every Monday or Tuesday, we're cooking up, because it's our slowest day, our slowest days. We cook up about 350 meals. And we send those to through a foundation, and those get to the hospitals with the most needs. And the reason why it is so essential for the healthcare workers is for this particular reason in Mexico. Healthcare workers in Mexico are being treated horrendously. They're being attacked by their community. Some of them are being beaten up. Some of them are having bleach thrown on their face. Because some of the more ignorant and less educated part of the society believe that they're the source of contagion instead of actually the saviors. These people often, they don't go back home because they don't want to contaminate or, spread the contagion to their families or to their neighbors. And so they're getting hotel rooms or small apartments. And so they have no way of cooking their dinner. So what we do is we arrange so that they, when they finish their shift, they get their food, they bring it to their hotel room or to their apartment, and they have something to eat so they can start the next day.
So do people come and pick up, or is there things like Uber Eats, those kind of programs in Mexico City?
So we have Rappi, Uber Eats, we have a whole bunch of different options, but we don't use any of them. Because another philosophy we have is that I want to employ my employees for everything. So I scrounged up some cars that we have, our personal cars. We use the Teslas. Okay, we have 2 Teslas that are doing deliveries. You get a Model X coming to your door, and there's your Nostos meal. And so we want to employ as many of our waiters as possible. And we want them to get tips. So we make sure that everyone who orders a meal for delivery to their house, so we make sure that the person who's dispatching it says to the customer, perfect, one of our waiters will bring that meal to you. We find it's a safer, more direct, and better quality way of delivering the food because it gets there warmer, it gets there faster, it's just better. Some of our waiters are using their own cars. We're paying them 4 pesos for every kilometer that they drive. So we take a picture of their odometer at the beginning of the shift and a picture at the end of their shift, and whatever kilometers that they used up on their car, so they're getting some more money. They're getting money for the wear and tear in their car and the gasoline, whatever it is. And, so it's another benefit.
When do you think restaurants will reopen for people dining in the restaurant? Any idea?
What we're hearing in Mexico City is June 15th, so relatively soon. I personally think that's too soon. I tell my colleagues and I also my friends who are, supposedly competitors, other restaurants, I said, it's not the government who's going to decide whether our restaurants open or not. It's going to be our customers. If we can offer a safe environment where they feel perfectly comfortable to be able to eat, and they have the feeling that the risk that I'm taking is the same or less than going to the supermarket, that's the threshold that we want to cross.
We're speaking with Dennis Stevens, owner of Nostos in Mexico City, and two other restaurateurs about the impact of the pandemic on their businesses. Dennis has drawn on his corporate background with BCG to propose an exciting scheme to make it safe for restaurants to reopen again in Mexico City. We'll be finding out details of his plans next. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Dennis Stevens, owner of Nostos, and two other restaurateurs about the impact of the coronavirus on their industry. You have some ideas about what it's going to take for restaurants to open up again, Dennis. What is it that you have in mind? Is it only using every other table? What are you picturing?
The mayor of my borough, it's called Miguel Hidalgo, asked me to actually write a proposal. He knows that I'm a former consultant. And so I wrote a four-page document, you know, a PowerPoint document, and based on four lines of attack. Number one is, what are you going to do with your location? Number two is, what do your employees have to do? Number three is, what do your clients need to do differently? And finally, how does your service have to change? And so I separated those recommendations. And to answer your question, we're going much further than that. We recommended a 2-meter distance between the backs of chairs. Okay. And the other thing that we recommended is only outdoor tables. You know, so table service only outside, so that you have upward ventilation. And that is that we feel is important, because it's been shown in several studies that of 100 contagions that they studied, all but one occurred indoors. So very few cases of outdoor contagion. So that's a big step. We're putting also thermal cameras that detect fever at the entrance of the restaurant, and work with a screen, so that the customers can see that they don't have a fever, but the people around them don't have a fever. You have to provide the confidence that we're doing everything that we need to do, and they feel comfortable about coming in the restaurant. Of course, all our waiters, all our servers and staff wearing masks, and we're going to offer free masks for all our customers coming in, so that when they come in, the rule will be that if you get up from your table, we ask you to put your mask on. You know, if you're going to the bathroom or if you're leaving the restaurant, always use your mask when you leave your table.
Can you make money by having only the outside and only part of your restaurant filled?
We can, because we have all our restaurants have large terraces. Okay, but what we did is we also made a recommendation to the mayor that restaurants that don't have terraces, he should give a temporary permit so that they can use the sidewalk or the street in front of the restaurant, so that to support that industry. And he's agreed to that. Another recommendation that we made was that all services that are accessible by hand, not, you know, at that level between, you know, let's say 70 centimeters from the floor to about a meter to 50 above the floor, should be sanitized or with a disinfectant every 30 minutes. And so you have a dedicated employee doing just that, a person that just goes around and does the circuit. And basically the idea is you got to provide as many barriers as possible so the virus doesn't transmit from me to you.
So how are your wife and the three girls and yourself handling the lockdown? Is it all right or been a big challenge?
There's someone who said something that I think is quite appropriate. We're all going through the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. Okay. And the thing is that fortunately we have a big boat, okay, and so we're pretty comfortable here. Recognizing that many people don't have it as good. So we're very fortunate. We have a large garden. We have a vegetable garden on the roof, which is doing tremendously well. So we got all our vegetables and tomatoes, and everything's growing very nicely there. We're doing a lot of projects around the house. Everybody's got, you know, doing their schooling over the internet, so everyone has their room and all that. So yeah, we're managing pretty well, and we're eating very well, you know, because we're ordering food from Nostos or cooking at home. Oh, and the other thing we're doing for Nostos is that we're also doing everything in house. We used to buy our bread, but now we make our own sourdough bread, and so we reduce that cost. We make our own packaging. So we created something called Nostos Market. So the indoor part of our restaurant now has become a fruit and vegetable market, which a lot of it is basically our stock room that we just brought upstairs. We displayed it very nicely. We sell our Greek olive oil, and that olive oil, we have it packaged in our recycled wine bottles that we sterilized. We made our own labels. So now we have a farmer's market inside our restaurant, and we're producing everything here. My daughter is printing all the bags with Nostos on them. You know, we buy brown paper bags, and she's printing Nostos on them. So they're keeping busy. We're creating our own ecosystem here.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Dennis Stevens, owner of Nostos in Mexico City, as well as two other restaurateurs about the impact of COVID-19 on their industry. Where do you get your ideas from, Dennis? When you think of what you're doing for the mayor and the restaurant, where do you look?
We look internally. I mean, we have a group of people. We brainstorm. So there's a lot of it comes internally. Necessity is the is what drives what we develop. Then the other thing, of course, is the internet, and we try to see that. You know, I have a saying: if it's a really good idea, someone's probably already done it before. Right. So that's how we test our ideas. So what you first do is you come up with the idea. You think, OK, this could be a solution. Guess what? Why don't we put it through the internet? I'm sure someone's done this before. You know, very rarely do you have an amazing idea and you don't find it on the internet.
So, Lenny, you're at home like the rest of us. What are you doing to keep busy?
Well, I work out. I spend time, a lot of time with Stephanie, my wife. She works in the retail division of Moisha, so she's very busy. So I've been spending time with her, working on that. We just recently brought a few new products to market. So I've been helping her with the graphics and a lot of the information. I still come to the restaurant almost every day, and we're doing the initiatives and with the homeless and healthcare workers, and we've been doing that on a weekly basis. So that covers about 3 days of my week, and just keeping things up at the restaurant. There's still banking to do and administrative work to do, life. So yeah, I mean, it's not the same as working in the restaurant when the restaurant's busy, because that's just all encompassing all the time. So it's easier and more relaxing and not as stressful day to day. I mean, there's the big stress of the big situation, but day to day things are just a little quieter and saner for me.
Antonio, part of your job as a leader during these times is to stay calm and encourage people that we'll make it through. Is that how it works?
So it's not just staying calm and work through it. This pandemic, brought me back to ground zero. Every day I'm doing the dishes, every day I'm cleaning the sink, every day I'm soaping everywhere. This is where we came back to. I came back 25 years behind, and then I'm start doing again everything from scratch. And I don't know if it's a leadership or anything that has to do with that, but that's in my blood. I can't change who I am. I'm a hustler, so I have to hustle. And by hustling, it, if you want to gather your team together and lead the team, then you have to be the main example, and you have to show them. It doesn't matter if it's dishes. It doesn't matter if it's just, mixing the rice or cooking the rice, or it doesn't matter just chopping onions, 100 onions. You have to do it.
So it's a stressful time. How do you escape from that stress, and how do you kind of get some downtime, Antonio?
There's no really downtime. I'm not trying to escape from anything. I think I'm trying to jump in more. I might say it's 20. I went back 25 years ago, but that 25 years ago was probably the most happiest time. And I'm actually, I know it's the pandemic and I know the coronavirus and all that, but I am actually living the happiest time of my life right now. Cooking every day, when you run over 10 operations of restaurants and things like that, you're always having meetings, conferences, paperwork, taxes, all this. But right now we're focusing into one thing, and the one thing that brought me to be able to open the other multiple restaurants is cooking. So I'm just back into the ground zero, cooking, hustling, and giving an example to my coworkers, my team.
This is the CEO Series. Antonio, Lenny, and Dennis, thank you for joining us today. This show was produced by Marie LeBrosse. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Brian Kelliser. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.
For more info and full interviews, go to cjad.com now.